If I could go back in time, I would change this sermon title to Celebrating the Palm Sunday Spirit. Celebrating the Palm Sunday Spirit. This past week, I had the privilege of joining my son Chris on a junior high band camp trip. I was one of the dad chaperones, and there were six rooms of boys, and each night, as we tried to quiet down the boys at lights out time, we would poke our nose into their rooms. And the smells that were wafting from within were both great and mysterious. It reminded me of the title from that Nirvana 1991 song, Smells Like Teen Spirit. This really neat, one-of-a-kind mixture of grade 7 boy, plus open bags of chips, plus mildewing swimming suits and towels tucked into corners of backpacks. That all equals teen spirit. So it wasn't like I was celebrating that kind of spirit this week, but I did step into it. And I was thinking today, as we step into the reality of the Palm Sunday story, I'm wondering if we might celebrate this spirit. Not teen spirit, but a Palm Sunday spirit. And here we are on the verge of Holy Week, a week that I hope you will take time during one of our Holy Week services to participate in, because those services are a chance for a more somber time of reflection and walking with Jesus on the journey these final days to the cross. But here we are on Sunday, on the verge of Holy Week, and I thought today this ought to still be a time of celebration. And even today, as we've shaped today's service, I think you'll feel like we've tried to encourage the spirit of Palm Sunday in a tone of celebration this morning. So I'm going to suggest that because of the two texts, the Psalm 118 text and our text from Matthew 21, that we go two ways with this celebration. And the first is a celebration of praise. There's a significant connection between Psalm 118 and Matthew 21 in that Psalm 118 is traditionally known by the Jewish community as a part of the Hallel, this singing or chanting through Psalms 113 through 118 as a part of the Passover celebration. And so today's gospel text happens as the people of God are entering into Jerusalem. So it's probably no long shot to think that this psalm was one of the singing psalms of choice. It would have been close to the hearts and the mouths of these people during these days. And so today, as we celebrate with praise this reality of the Palm Sunday spirit, I'd encourage you to keep on walking with that text from Psalm 118 this week. Through those 12 verses that were read for us this morning, there are many reasons for us to celebrate this God of Palm Sunday. And even if you have that text still open, there's phrases like give thanks, enduring love, God answers, my salvation, rejection becomes foundation, God did it, marvel, day as gift, rejoice, be glad, God save us, God success us. We bless, light, extol, the Lord is good. So many words, so many phrases that hopefully give you that spirit of Palm Sunday and give you words or images or feelings to carry into this Holy Week. Because as we enter into Holy Week, as we enter the darkness of Maundy Thursday, or Good Friday, or even the shadows of Holy Saturday, these praises need to be the fuel of grace to carry us through darkness and themes of death. And it's really not just for this week, it's for every week that we face as humanity, because we all have lives that intersect with other lives, or we're a part of this world that suffers and groans and cries and weeps. And so what does it mean for us to be a people of praise, a people of gratitude, a people of love, a people of light, a people of courage and confidence, who carry these words, carry this hope, carry this message to a world filled with hardship and sadness and sorrow? So one way that we can go with the spirit of Palm Sunday is to celebrate with praise. The second way that we can move as we embrace the spirit of Palm Sunday is to celebrate with what I'm calling non-violent resistance. If we're going to carry this celebration into the streets, there's one consistent way that Jesus models that for us, and we see it in the Palm Sunday text. It's non-violent resistance. And that might feel counterintuitive to us, because maybe we think that the church always needs to move with power. I had a call a couple weeks ago, and I was invited to be a part of this gathering where these people were going to show what the church is all about. Join us, because we're going to go to this place, and we're going to show them what the church is all about. And I thought, we're going to show them what the church is all about? With this pomp and power? That just doesn't feel like what we're moving towards as we enter Palm Sunday and Holy Week. A few weeks ago, I talked about the Matthew 4 text where Jesus is being tempted in the desert, and I said there's these temptations, and I was using Henry Nouwen's reflections, these temptations to be relevant, to be spectacular, to be powerful. And in the midst of those temptations, Jesus says, "Do you love me? Will you confess your sins to one another? Will you forgive one another? Will you allow yourselves to be led rather than feel like you need to lead all the time?" And so Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is one of non-relevance, non-spectacularity, non-powerfulness. He comes in on the east side of the city, where some commentators reflect on this and say, in the midst of him coming in on the east, on the west side of the city would have been the Roman legions and rulers. And they would have been entering in with power, with golden chariots, with military horses, with armored guards, with privilege, rank, and entitlement. And instead, Jesus enters from the east side of the city. He enters in the same manner that he will carry through the rest of Holy Week: humility and peace. William Barclay, the Scottish Presbyterian minister, writes this way about this story. He says, "It was upon the donkey of peace and not upon the horse of war that Jesus came. He came deliberately refusing the role of the warrior Messiah and claiming to be the Prince of Peace. He was appealing for a throne, but the throne was in the hearts of humanity." And so in many ways, we join Jesus in this unamazing story. And I don't know if you think often about this as a local community of faith, but even today, on Palm Sunday, as we celebrate, there's this part of us that is fairly unamazing in the midst of the world. And several months ago, I was preaching from Jeremiah and saying that we are a people in exile. The church is no longer at the center of society. And we don't find ourselves with doors that are lined up at, where people are just dying or hoping or edging or trying so hard to get in. So we sometimes feel like the underdogs, and perhaps even a strange bunch today, singing these songs and spiritual hymns, praying to a God who is unseen, talking about a Jesus who enters in. But I think even in the midst of this exile, in the midst of maybe feeling like we're in the margins, this might be a good place for us to be. Because as we read the Gospels and we read where Jesus spent his time, it wasn't often with the rich and the powerful. It was often with the lowly, with the broken, and with the downcast. And so maybe it's good for us to be on this journey with Jesus, to be hearing and experiencing this humble gospel message that comes to the lowly, that comes to the poor, that comes to the unhealthy. As one Lutheran minister put it, as I was reading his take on this text this week, he said, "The good news is that Jesus comes with a different set of expectations than we have. Jesus comes not with a replacement empire, but to replace the claims and the authority of empire itself. If empire's power lies in the threat of death to those who oppose it, then destroying the power of death trumps empire's claims. Empire offers salvation to those lucky enough to be at the top of the pyramid. Love and forgiveness are for all of humanity. Empires can and do fail, but nothing can separate us from the love of Christ." So if we want to get in on this Palm Spirit, Sunday Spirit today, I'd say that we've done a good job by gathering here in this sacred space, joining others in this place, joining voices and prayers of those who have been celebrating God's goodness and enduring love for centuries, for even thousands of years. But this celebration doesn't stop once we stop here, once the postlude is done. The rubber hits the road reality of our celebration ought to spill into the streets of the city this week, because we go as bearers of the way of Jesus. As we move through places of our life in the way of non-violent resistance. This is the way of Jesus in the world. So I'd encourage you to draw strength from this story today. And even as we close with our time in today's text, try to imagine what it would have been like to be a part of this crowd on Palm Sunday. The 200 of us joining maybe a group of 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. Can you imagine the 200 of us in a group of 5,000? I was thinking 5,000. Maybe Tellus Field holds 5,000 people. 10,000? Okay, so half of Tellus Field is full, and us 200 are apart. So that at least kind of gives you a bit of the visual of how many people are floating around. So try to imagine that. Close your eyes if you trust the person beside you not to do weird things to you while you're doing that. There's this flutter of excitement in our hearts. We're not totally sure what we're getting involved in, but we've heard about this Jesus character, and we're somewhat okay, and we maybe even have had some friends who've told us miraculous stories about this Jesus. Maybe they've told us stories of being there at the feeding of the 5,000, where there was this boy with just a couple of fish and 5 loaves, and everyone got fed, and it was a miracle. Or maybe we have friends who were a part of the Lazarus story that saw Lazarus come out of the tomb, and they actually helped Lazarus take off his grave clothes. And so there's a bit of a frenzy because Jesus is entering the city, and there's turmoil. It's loud, it's dusty, it's chaotic. But then let's even zoom in a little closer. And let's imagine that even in our group of 200, you get to be right on that inner row, right near the front. And you can actually see Jesus on this colt and see his face. What do you see? Do you see strength? Do you see peace? Do you see love? Do you see intensity? Do you see courage? Do you see humility? What do you see? What do you need to see today? I hope whatever you see, or whatever you feel, or whatever you imagine, that it's something that you can carry in to Holy Week. That we would receive anew the Spirit of Jesus, this lowly, humble Jesus, and that we would join the crowd, and that we would say, Jesus, save us. Save me. Grant us success. Grant me success. Grant me hope and healing. Hosanna, save me. I beseech you, save me. And we bless you from the house of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In verse 10 of today's gospel text, Matthew writes that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. And the Greek word for turmoil is seo, which means trembling, and it's also the root of the word seismic. And so maybe even as you're imagining, it makes you tremble, or it shakes up your heart and your soul, and that's okay. As we close in a moment of silence, let us embrace the spirit of Palm Sunday. It's a spirit of celebration, of joy, of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but it's also a spirit of nonviolent resistance. It's humility, it's peace, as Jesus enters in, not only to Jerusalem today, but by the power of the Spirit enters our hearts anew as we walk together into Holy Week. A moment of silence for us to pray together, and then I will close with a prayer. The 8th century martyr Andrew of Crete writes this prayer. Let us say to Christ, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Let us wave before him like branches the words inscribed above him on the cross. Let us show him honor, not with olive branches, but with the splendor of merciful deeds to one another. Let us spread the thoughts and desires of our hearts under his feet like garments, so that he may draw the whole of our being into himself and place the whole of his in us. Amen.